ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zada Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
The Killer Bees!
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. It's Brendan behind the glass, and it is a Wednesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. It's great to see Brendan. I'm not used to seeing him every day that we're working. Every day this week, Brendan's been here. It's fantastic. Will you be here every day next week, Brendan?
Oh, come on.
Will you?
Set up.
Next week I will, yeah.
Well, but this week?
Today is my last day this week. Yes. And I'm also leaving early.
You going to try and tough it out for the whole show? Or,
no.
Oh, that's right.
No.
Yeah.
I can only give you 2.5 hours.
I was
today.
Here
all
day, every day last week. Jeremy, I was here every day last week. I was here Saturday, and I was here Sunday. Yeah. I didn't see either of you Saturday or Sunday.
And yeah. Nor should you or ever will you if I can have anything to say about it.
My contract's Monday through Friday.
That's correct.
Brendan, Monday through Friday. I'm kidding. But good to see you this week, Brendan. But yeah, I'm the one that's part-timer this week. I'm part-timing today, too. You guys are kind enough to take the last 30 minutes of the show. There's a ton of drama going on right now. There's going to be a press conference over at Minute Maid Park here in a little bit. If we see anything interesting, Brendan will let us know. But there's a lot of drama going on. Dusty Baker is agreeing to a one-year deal to come back as the manager of the Houston Astros. We saw Nightingale report that that Crane has offered Click a one-year deal. Click all but confirmed that yesterday, speaking to the media at the GM meetings in Las Vegas. One-year deal. Click also got a kind of he didn't get in too loose-lipped, but he got a little loose-lipped, talking about how these guys don't always see eye-to-eye, how Crane can be demanding, all
They're
the stuff
different.
That we've heard before. All the mm-hmm. stuff that we've heard before, but you had Click confirm all of that stuff. Now, Click is in Vegas representing the Astros. The Astros are making transactions. They did not pick up the option on Trey Mancini. Mancini has they declined the mutual option, so he's off the books. He's a free agent. Will Smith, who when they acquired him for Jake Overeasy, we already knew they weren't going to pick up the club option. They did not pick up the option on him either. They declined him. So, like, the Astros have been making moves. The Astros have been making moves, and James Click, I believe, is the one doing so as this, like, interim GM after leaving as the permanent GM
very,
with the Houston
very
Astros.
Bizarre.
They win the World Series Saturday, and you already have drama within the Houston Astros.
And in the ESPN article where they said that he is still, you know, without a contract but running things for the Astros in Vegas, Click went on and on to say about how he loved Houston and hoped things would work out and that his kids have settled in here and that being in a winning environment was meaningful. All these other things that you're like, wow, it should be an easy kumbaya story to, just wrap it up and make it happen. Not so fast.
No, not so fast. Now, do you think it's a slap in the face that Click gets the one-year deal?
I think it's a huge slap
one-year
in the face.
Offer, I should say, because
yes.
He hasn't signed it. It's not a
huge
deal until it's done.
Huge slap in the face, yes. I think that throughout professional sports, and you've seen this with the coaching ranks too, that even when a guy is entering the final season of his contract, if you allow him to be a lame duck coach and you don't make him an offer, if you do truly intend on keeping him and you like him, that is a huge slap in the face. If you are the general manager of the World Series champions and you are only offered a one-year deal, I definitely can't look at that any other way than a slap in the face.
It is a slap in the face. Like, I don't think that there's much room for debate. We can talk about how this roster was configured, right? How it was constructed, and how much should James Click be praised for the roster that won a World Series in 2022. I think James Click's a good GM, and I'm kind of curious how the Hive thinks. 713-780-ESPN, let us know. Because I've heard James Click getting, like, dragged today. Like, this dude, since he's taken over, has went to an ALCS, has went to a World Series, and has won a World Series. I understand that this is, like, Luno's baby, but what is James Click supposed to do? Like, where has James Click gone wrong? Because, look, I'm even okay if James Crane hired another general manager. I don't think James Click's the best GM in the league. So if Crane brought in another GM that's better than James Click, I'm totally okay with that. But I'm also not going to talk poorly about James Click, who I think's done a really good job in Houston, and I'm wondering what I've missed. Where has James Click gone wrong?
I think it's a personality conflict. I think that the main thing that it sounds like, because I'm with you, I don't think he's the best GM him in the league by a long shot, but I don't think he did a bad job. I think where everybody's going to be critical, that's just the kind of, you know, everyday kind of fan that isn't real deep into it, they're going to say he's the guy that didn't make the big splashy moves. He didn't make the Verlander moves or the Greinke moves or the Gerrit Cole moves or the Charlie Morton moves. He made the savvy moves that still made this team better. You know, 2 years ago, the way he restructured and redid the whole bullpen with adding three arms and getting rid of your starting center fielder, and everybody went, and then it worked out. And then this year, getting Mancini and Vasquez, guys that, you know, for a while they're contributed, but when you needed them in the playoffs, obviously Mancini didn't do it with his bat, but he did make a play with his glove. Vasquez was a bat and a steady catcher for you when you needed it. He made moves that made this team better. So I'm like you. I could be just fine with a new general manager, but I am not going to crap on what he's done as a general manager, because did it not make me happy that he didn't spend more money and go out and get a couple more players that I had been harping on? Yes. But did he do enough to make this team better and help them where they had some deficiencies? Yes. So I think the main thing where people that don't get it are missing is they're just going to focus on the fact he didn't make a big blockbuster. I think where the separation happens is it seems like it's just a personality conflict.
Sure, but I think it's different than what I asked, right? Because I can understand why Crane wants to move on from Click. I think he likes other people that he's worked with more than Click that are maybe more aligned with like the philosophy. But I've heard people saying right now, like across the city, that James Click deserves no praise at all, which is ignorance of me. James Click, I think, has done mostly good for this organization. Like, what's the worst thing that James Click has done? Because you could say, well, the best thing he's done isn't all that great. I would argue robbing Yordan Alvarez for the contract that he signed him for is pretty great, and the Astros will reap the benefits of that for a long time. Jeremy Pena, the belief you had in Jeremy Pena, maybe you got lucky there, but you also have to praise him for having that sort of foresight, because a GM's job is forecasting the future, not reacting based on what happened prior. And James Click hit that one out of the park. You can give him grief about the Pedro Baez acquisition. Mm-hmm. Who cares? Like, that's a minor move. It's not like you're giving your best prospect for a dude who fails and it is terrible. So, like, you miss on a relief pitcher for a decent amount of money. Oh, well. So I want to hear what you think about how James Click has gone wrong. 713-780-ESPN. From a Jim Crane perspective, I think you nailed it. I just don't think that they're very aligned, simpatico. Gain and Bill O'Brien always use that word aligned. Yeah. I don't think Crane and Click are that aligned.
No, and you know what? Having worked for Les Alexander and seeing how Les Alexander gave me the true definition of how an owner can operate, it's my world, you're living in it. And even if you do your job as good as you could possibly do your job, if I don't like you, mm-hmm. if we don't get along, if you're not my kind of personality, the way you kind of handle your business on a daily basis, I'm free to make a change. And I don't have to tell you why, because I can't tell you how many times when I was going through a hiring process where I would go, you know, follow, cross my T's and dot my I's and do everything to get, you know, the candidates and come to the owner with a candidate. And he goes, I don't like it. I don't have to tell you why. Go find somebody else.
Here's the thing, too, about like the splash, because like I agree with you that Jim Crane has not made a splash, but the splashiest move that he made was Nixed. He made a move at the trade deadline for Wilson Contreras, who, of course, Wilson Contreras had been rumored to be on the move. He had been linked to the Houston Astros, so we knew that there was some smoke there. We found out that smoke was indeed fire, and that James Click had a deal done for Wilson Contreras. He was going to send Jose Urquidy to the Cubs for Wilson Contreras, and Dusty Baker said, no, we can't do that. Jose Urquidy is our best pitcher right now. Crane sided with Dusty Baker in that splash move that we're now criticizing James Click for, not us, but some. He made it, but it was Nixed. And like looking back at that trade too, in hindsight, being 2020, I'm glad they didn't make that trade, because you still won the World Series. Wilson Contreras will be a free agent, and you still have Jose Urquidy under club control going forward. In hindsight, I'm glad they didn't make that trade.
Mm-hmm.
But Jose Urquidy did not appear very much in the postseason.
No,
if you were just to stack up only the 2022 playoffs, who would have helped this team more? And I know the Astros won the World Series, but Wilson Contreras would have had a lot more run than Jose Urquidy did in this postseason.
Okay, Jeremy, I hear what you're saying, but then I've got to go back to who we know is managing this ball club and what we saw happen when you didn't add a Wilson Contreras, but you did add a frontline catcher in Vasquez, and you found out real quick he was going to be a pinch hitter and a backup, because Dusty is going to trust his gut, and he's going to go with the guy that had been there and done that all year in Maldi. And
sure.
So I don't know if you just substitute, you know, I think it's an equal substitution in terms of Vasquez and Contreras. I think Vasquez is a better defender, but I don't think that there was a guarantee that just because you added Wilson Contreras, that Dusty was going to play him at, you know, he probably would have played him the same way he played Vasquez.
I think it's a guarantee that Wilson Contreras would have been the designated hitter every single game.
Oh, DH.
Yeah, he wouldn't have caught. I agree with you there. But he's a better hitter than Christian Vasquez. He slugs. Now, the question with Contreras is defensively. Like, can he play the catcher position good defensively? That's not the case. But he would have been your DH all postseason. So they nixed that. And look, Wilson Contreras would have contributed more in the playoffs than Jose Urquidy contributed in the playoffs. So you can't really blame Click for that. In hindsight, I'm glad they didn't do it because they still won the World Series, and I'd rather have Urquidy going forward because you wouldn't have Contreras. He's a free agent.
It's also crazy that you take the two, the old school manager and the owner, and it seemed like they were thinking about that's too much to give up because they know in the future Urquidy was still going to be a part of your rotation.
No, it wasn't a future thing. Dusty said at the time that he is our best pitcher and we can't trade our best pitcher.
See, that's crazy to me because
he was rolling, remember? He was rolling.
Oh, I know. There was a time when we were discussing if he wasn't going to be your third pitcher going into the playoffs. But at the same time, I would think that, you know, the Astros have always been a team that's been one eye on the future as well, to think that Urquidy's going to be around for a while under team control. There's no sense in giving up on him. You give up two prospects and you get Vasquez. That was a better deal.
Was it, though?
I think so.
I mean, Vasquez didn't really play. Like Wilson Contreras would have played every single game.
When he did play, I think he got some hits for them. He did the thing.
I'm not. This isn't a knock on Vasquez, but like they acquired Vasquez to be the catcher or the backup catcher.
Yeah, which was crazy to me.
Click might have acquired him to be the starter, but Dusty wasn't going to start him. Wilson Contreras would have been acquired because of his bat. He would have been the DH. So like it's a little different. 713-780-ESPN. This 1 year offer to James Click, is it a slap in the face to James Click? 713-780-ESPN. And I also want to hear from all the people saying that James Click stinks, like that he shouldn't be the GM, that he's awful. Because I'm hearing some talking heads in this city say that James Click is not very good. James Click's a good general manager. Why isn't he? You tell me. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham. I also have the solution to make everyone happy in all of this drama. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
James Click, Jim Crane, drama. Dusty Baker having a press conference right now with the owner, Jim Crane, as they have finalized a deal with Dusty Baker, a one-year deal. James Click has been offered a one-year deal, according to reports, which James Click all but confirmed. Jim Crane's all but confirmed it. But Crane has not signed said deal and said that they're negotiating. Click has said, Crane has said the same things as well. We'll get to some of the sound from that press conference in just 1 second. Purple and Gold tweeting at us saying that we need to move on from Maldi. It's just time. And I thank Chaz for his contribution, but we can't blind ourselves here. He shouldn't be a starter next year. Make sure you're tuning in to the 1 o'clock hour. We'll be talking about those things. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go to that press conference taking place right now at Minute Maid Park. Because, look, if Jim Crane's at the podium and he's talking to the press, he's going to be asked about James Click. The Astros just won the World Series. There's drama in-house with the Astros. Here was Jim Crane, courtesy of Brian T. Smith, discussing the James Click discussions.
Same timeline as Dusty. I sat down with, you know, we were quite busy for the Saturday and then Sunday, a little rest, and then we had the big parade, and was able to sit down with James for a little while, and he had to shoot off to the GM's meeting. So we're in discussions, and when he gets back, we'll complete those discussions.
Okay. So that's Jim Crane about James Click. James Click has not accepted the one-year deal. I think that, look, at the end of the day, I believe James Click's going to be back as the general manager for the Astros. He is playing a little poker right now. He's playing the negotiation game, but he's also the acting general manager for the Astros right now and was discussing the roster with what's his name, Chandler Rome yesterday. They were talking about where Yordan's going to play next year. So, like, James Click is acting like he's going to be the GM. There's no other GM opening in all of baseball. Crane is doing the right thing. He knows that he has, or Click rather is doing the right thing. He knows he has Crane over the barrel a little bit, and he's trying to sweeten his contract, whether it's financial or whether it's the length of the deal.
It's very rare that you get a general manager or anybody that's trying to find a job in professional sports that has the upper hand. And in this case, James Click could easily have the upper hand. Now, he might not have a job for this upcoming season, but he will have no short line of suitors whenever general manager's jobs then pop up, whether it be in the midseason, if someone makes a change between now and, you know, the middle of the offseason, or in seasons to come. It's just you have to be prepared to sit out probably this year and wait for your next opportunity. But your resume states you are more than a worthy candidate for whoever has an opening. But at the same time, most guys are worried about getting fired, and they'll take whatever their owner gives them, and then you just try to negotiate through something that somewhat makes sense for you. His contract expired. He can walk if he wants to walk. So he doesn't have to accept or do whatever Jim Crane wants to do. That also is the kind of thing that bothers Jim Crane, because Jim Crane likes that upper hand. He likes to be in control. But you're right, because there's no GM jobs open right now, it's not completely in his court to be having all the cards. But he does have more cards than usual, and it would be an awful look. And if you read the SI article that came out recently, it's very critical of the way the Crane does business within Major League Baseball in terms of negotiations and offers with players. And a lot of the stuff we covered in terms of not wanting to go with big money and long term, and kind of the way he handles back and forth in negotiations with agents and players. So much so they said his new championship ring should be on his middle finger when he basically flips it to people when he's talking to them. I think that factors in here in the fact that he's trying to have that power play on Click that Click doesn't have to sign up for if he doesn't want to.
I don't mind how Jim Crane does business, by the way. Like, is he cutthroat? Is he a hard you-know-what? Yeah. He's a winner, though. Like, I don't care if people operate that way as long as they're winning.
As a fan of the team, as long as he, when he has to open the purse strings or write the check, when the big move, he's not afraid to make the big move, that he wants to, he still prioritizes winning at the end of the day. Yeah. That's what I loved about Les. Les had a lot of shortcomings with the Rockets, but when there was a chance to get a Charles Barkley, a Scottie Pippen, you know, take that swing for the fence move that made you better, he was always willing to do that move.
I don't know if I would go as far to say as like, bring in a big name player, because a lot of time that can be counterproductive to a sustained winner. To me, it's more about making sure that you're competitive financially with the rest of Major League Baseball. And Jim Crane has shown since this team was competitive, he wasn't doing this in the rebuilding years because why would you? But ever since they've been competitive, 2015 going forward, Jim Crane's always been at or near the competitive balance tax. And I think that's as much as you can ask as a sports fan in the city of the Astros owner. And he cares about building a long-term winner. He cares about the long-term success of the Astros. So if he's a jerk in the process, if he acts like a little bit like George Steinbrenner in the process, it's fine by me. I don't care.
It's just, you know what, that's fine. And again, you can have that opinion, and there's going to be the biggest thing is that what the article, I think, is trying to lead towards, too, is there's going to be something that they think is going to have a negative or adverse effect on players wanting to play there or negotiate with Jim Crane, free agency and otherwise. I think
hasn't bothered Verlander.
They're buddies. Okay,
sure.
That's a different scenario. You're going to talk about
Alvarez.
Agents.
Well, there
the
you go.
Same way that organizations have tried to make moves so that they, you know, to reset the deck and the reputation, like the Bregman move before they had to, because they know they had a bad rep for how they handled some of their other players.
I think it's more personnel than players, though. Like, the players have had no problem re-signing with Crane. Like, Correa would have re-signed here if they offered him what Minnesota offered him. Yordan Alvarez locked himself up here. Justin Verlander's done two different deals. Michael Brantley came back. Yuli Gurriel
right, but
came
I'm saying,
back.
All I'm saying is that agents are going to get pissed off. It's between you and another team. Agents hold grudges, too. Agents are going to try to push their player a certain way. They're going to tell their players certain things about the negotiations. Sometimes the players are in those negotiations. Whether that actually...
But I think it's more personnel than it is players. Like, I don't think that... Or staff, I should say. I don't think that Crane has a bad reputation around players at all.
I think between the agents and what they tell players, I think it maybe not completely there yet, but I think it's on its way.
I couldn't go that far. Like, if Crane would have offered Correa $35.1 million for 4 years, is Carlos Correa an Astro?
I mean, you would hope so.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, get David in here. David, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up?
Hey, y'all. Glad we're still talking Astros. I guess I would agree... I think James Click's doing a pretty good job. The only thing was, I guess, with Contreras, like you guys were saying, in hindsight, I don't think it would have been the best deal, even though I agree that he would have just been DH, because that's what he did a lot for the Cubs. But Contrary to what the last texter said, I'm okay with, you know, getting Maldonado back because he does such a good job with his pitching staff. And maybe re-signing Vasquez, but if Verlander doesn't take the qualifying option, I'm totally okay with going out and signing, you know, like Chris Bassett is now out there as a free agent and a couple others. And in left field, if Uncle Mike comes back, I think him and Yordan can split DH duties because, you know, he's getting older.
Yeah, appreciate the call, and David. I wanted to jump in there because of the Yordan Brantley thing. It's interesting because we were just talking about James Click, who's still in Las Vegas representing the Houston Astros, and they've made two moves today, declining the option of Will Smith, declining the mutual option of Trey Mancini. So, like, you've had the moves being made by the Astros, and you also had Click yesterday telling Chandler Rome he thinks that Yordan Alvarez is trending to be the everyday left fielder for the Astros next year and how he's building this team. So, like, I have zero doubt that James Click's going to be the GM of the Astros next year. Right now, it's just this huge negotiation game.
Yeah, in terms of the power play, too, the one thing that makes Jim Crane realize he doesn't have to worry about Click skipping town is if Click was really going to play hardball, he wouldn't be in Vegas. He wouldn't have gone.
Well, he could be talking to other teams, too.
Well, he could. Obviously, it's easy to use, what are we talking about? Networking.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a great networking tool, too, but it would be pretty shady if you're going to go there and start trying to think, you know, talk about making moves and doing things for a team that you're not getting paid for and then skip town and go to work for somebody else. If you really wanted to get sinister, you could actually make moves for the team that you knew you were going to, like a Daryl Morey would do.
Right.
And then set yourself up for your next job with, you know, players heading your way that you're going to actually be able to use. I think that as much as you could make this a true power play if you're Click, the fact that you're there representing the team and the fact that you did the article on ESPN that basically says, I want to be back. It basically says he, you know, whether it be for a year or more, he's going to be the general manager next year.
Not that I think Click would sabotage things like, you know, Joel presented as a possibility. I don't think he would do that. But I do think it's insane to sign a one-year deal with a general manager who just won the World Series. Because he knows damn well when you only give him 1 year that your intention is not to continue bringing him back. So why would he, like, what is the incentive to manage for the long term, to worry about the long-term health of the organization if you're gone anyways?
Well, Jim Crane has to sign off on everything.
Sure.
Like, that's the caveat.
But then just don't
that's
even hire him. Just do it yourself.
That's the gate. Well, I'm not sure I want Jim Crane, Jeff Bagwell, and Dusty Baker being the general manager of the Astros
don't.
Like they were at the trade deadline and nixed James Click's trade. It is certainly disrespectful. It is certainly a slap in the face. That's why James Click is negotiating here. But I have the solution that would make everybody happy. Makes Crane happy, makes Click happy, it makes everybody happy. That solution with the Killer Bees next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Dr. O has become a really good friend of mine. Dr. O was introduced to me by our sales staff, and after talking to O and seeing how he does business, I wanted to learn more about how he does business, what he can offer, and how he can help people on a daily basis. Once I started going to Apollo Men's Health, I started to get right on the right programs again. I started to take care of myself. I started to do the things that I needed to do so that as you get older, you can maintain your health and wellness so that you can enjoy every day. You don't run out of gas. He has done a fantastic job. His staff always cares about their patients enough to get them on the right program. You could be next in line. Go to apollomh.com and see all the services they offer. And when you look at those services, if there's a couple that really interest you or you think could help you, sign up for a first appointment. You'll find out most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. But then go in with an open mind, answer their questions, tell them what you're trying to achieve, where you might be suffering and falling short. They're going to put you on a program that works. They're going to get you results. It can start with things as easy as a B12 shot for more energy, and it can go all the way to hormone therapy, which gives you more energy on a daily basis. If you want to get on a workout program, start with a full body composition analysis and then chart your progress every month or so you can see the gains you're making, how your body fat's coming down, how your muscle mass is going up. Those are important things so that you can get the motivation that you're actually seeing results. Recover quicker, HGH peptide therapy. Stuff for your smoothies or fat burners, got those too. Two locations to better serve you in your downtown Houston with more coming. All you need to do is go to apollomh.com. Tell them I sent you by, free B12 shot or a free body comp on your first official visit. It's good people doing great things. It's the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Oh. All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Dusty Baker's back. The Astros have announced Dusty on a one-year extension, which is great. They're trying to bring the coaching staff back, too. They alluded to that. They asked Dusty about Espada, which Espada struck out again.
They did.
In the managerial cycle. So, look, it's important to me that the coaching staff stays in place. I'm totally cool with Dusty being back another year. Deserves it. It's warranted. I'm excited to have Dusty back another year as the manager. I do want to keep the entire staff together. Even if Joe Espada is not the next manager for the Houston Astros, you don't mess with what's been working. And I love the law firm of Miller Murphy. Like, you got to make sure that you keep those guys happy as well. So bring the coaching staff back.
For
Dusty
sure.
announced today. But more importantly than anything, make sure the pitching staff is back because this is that's the best attribute of the Houston Astros.
Well, and you know, and we had discussed it at the time, and I was one of the ones concerned about Brent Strom, but obviously the law firm has held up their end of the bargain, and Snitker and the hitting coaches, you know, did their job. I think they've got a really, really solid staff, and I think that sometimes how I keep saying how it just seems with this organization, everything works itself out. The fact that Espada didn't get a job in this cycle again might be a blessing for him as well as for the Astros, because if, in fact, Dusty at a certain point, whether it be after this contract or another one, decides that this is when I'm going to fade off into the sunset, it could be a lot worse than just taking the reins from Dusty and walking into a situation where you're still set up to win and sustained winning for a couple more years, instead of trying to, you know, get into a team like Miami or, you know, and in the middle of a rebuild, or a team like Chicago that, you know, continues to try and spend money to win but don't see the results. It could be the best of both worlds for both him and for the Astros.
So here's where I'm at with the whole drama with James Click and Jim Crane. The owner, the GM, the one-year offer, James Click not doing it. This is a theory, and I think it's a really sound theory. I think it's what's happening within the front office of the Houston Astros and in the office of the owner, Jim Crane. Jim Crane wants David Stearns to be his long-term baseball guy. David Stearns, of course, like the GM, executive VP, whatever his title is with Milwaukee, he's been on top of the baseball staff there. David Stearns stepping down like a month ago, but still has a year left on his contract. Milwaukee has said they will not let him out of his contract and go to a different team. So Crane, who wants David Stearns, can't get him for another year. It's Nick Caserio with the Houston Texans all over again. They can't get him. So the reason that they've offered Click a one-year deal is the bridge for David Stearns. And why not have the bridge be the GM that's been here the last few years and that just won a World Series? So it makes sense. But James Click, obviously, just won a World Series, has done a good job, he's a good general manager, is like, you kidding me, man? Why are you only giving me 1 year? I need more years, or at the very least, more money. I think it's more years. So the perfect solution that I have to make all parties happy for now, Jim Crane, James Click, and you still get your guy, David Stearns, when it's all said and done. You just give James Click whatever he wants. If he says that I'm wanting X amount of dollars for 4 or 5 years, you say, fine, I'm giving that to you. Here it is. This is the contract. You're the GM of my team. And then in a year, you hire David Stearns to be president of baseball operations or whatever title you want to give him that's above James Click. So you're giving James Click more money than he probably wants or that you probably are willing to give him, but you're making him happy for another year. At the end of the day, you still get your guy, David Stearns. If James Click is upset about that, cool, go find another job. You're willing to play poker and chicken with him right now anyways. So just give Click the contract that he wants, sign your guy at the end of the season, and then just tick off James Click. And if he wants to leave, he leaves. If he doesn't want to leave, then he's here for a while anyways.
Again, that goes back to that can all work, and that is very Jim Crane-ish in the way he handles all of his business outside of sports and inside of sports. And again, going back to the article with SI, I just think that that's really unfair to do to a guy that did his job to get you another World Series title. And the fact that you leave him as a lame duck and then you're going to give him what he wants, but only to basically pull the rug out from under him in so many terms, you know, but he's going to get paid if he just wants to sit there and be a good soldier. But he knows that his value is going to be in the utmost in the next year and a half. So if he doesn't have a chance to get a new job in the next year and a half, he may never get another opportunity. So that's at least that substantial. So that's a very tricky way of doing business that I think again, would leave kind of a dirt trail of nastiness across baseball. But I'm sure Jim Crane doesn't care.
Right.
He's just going to handle his business the way he's going to handle his business. Look, Stearns is a guy that was he was the president of the Brewers the last year. There was all kinds of rumors about why he was stepping back. The owner claims they still have a good relationship. They wanted to say it was something with his personal life and his family. But everybody to a man will tell you he is a sharp business guy, a baseball guy. He knows this league inside and out. So, you know, from Sig to Stearns, you got two guys, either guy, I would be absolutely ecstatic with.
It can't be Sig, though. Like, to me, like, I know that he was rumored in the past, but Sig's attainable. You could go get Sig right now. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he hasn't went out to
you're saying he's already targeted who he wants as his next choice.
David Stearns, in my opinion, there is zero doubt that Jim Crane wants him to be the general manager of this team for the next decade. He just can't do it yet.
Because
Milwaukee's not going to let Stearns out of his contract. And Stearns has ties with Houston. He was the first assistant general manager with Jeff Luhnow. Yeah. So they've worked together. I think it's very obvious what's going on.
The only thing I would say, and you may be right, he might not give a rat's ass about this, but I think that from a reputation standpoint in sports, to go out and treat a guy that, to give him a lame duck contract and offer him only 1 year coming off a World Series.
Yeah.
The current one. To do that to Click. That's a bad look.
Well, that's why I'm telling you, you give them years. You give them 3-4 years. You're guaranteeing them 3 to 4 years if you want the job. That doesn't mean I'm not going to go hire your boss someday, but I'll give you a 3-4 year contract that you want. I'm not going to guarantee that you're always going to be my personnel guy. I can't guarantee that you're always going to be the dude making every single decision. And look, I think it makes sense for Click, too, because Click can't leave right now. He can, but he's going to be out of work. He's not going to be a general manager. So Click can get a good chunk of money for a year. He adds another year being a GM on his resume and what's going to be a very good team again, probably 100 wins. They're going to be in contention for another World Series. So Click gets paid for another year handsomely. He adds another very good year to his resume. And then who knows what the landscape of Major League Baseball is in a year from now. There's probably going to be some GM openings. Everybody around baseball is going to know that Click's available because the Astros are going to want David Stearns. Right now, there's no option for James
Click. I'm surprised. Right now there isn't, but I'm also surprised that there aren't owners across baseball who basically are teetering on their general manager or, you know, have had similar situations in terms of the kind of up and down relationship Crane had with Click that couldn't just say, you know what, now I am going to pull the trigger because now I know I got a guy that I can go get that seems like the more modern day analytic GM that I need to run my franchise, and then they could create an opening. Because you're right, there's no openings now,
sure. But
there's nothing holding an owner back from saying, hey, if this dude is available, and like you said, if he's there in Vegas and he's networking, that's the best time to find out, hey, if there's the possibility of an opening. Because I think even amongst his peers, they're going to go, so let me get this straight. You took this job and you never got a chance to select your own manager. And then your owner came in and basically put a guy above you a year after you won the World Series and basically handcuffed you from doing anything without double approval. And that's a bad look for a guy that prides himself on analytics and knowing, you know, and being a shrewd guy that knows talent and all the things that go with being a general manager.
Yeah, I don't think Click is, like, it's ruining his reputation at all. I think that Click's reputation's never been better. And if he stays for another year, I don't think it's going to be better. I think it makes sense for Crane. Just make Click happy. If he wants 3 years, give him 3 years. Click's going to know in the back of his mind that that's not a guaranteed full 3 years.
Click's got to be ready to eat it up, though, right?
Sure, like, and Click's also going to, like, understand the idea that he's going to, like, be looking for jobs this upcoming season anyway.
But I'm saying Click's got to, you know, and again, this from the Tillman philosophy of, I don't like paying guys free money. So if I understand I'm going to use him this year and he's going to be the guy.
Right.
But in a year when I bring Stearns in, now I've got to be willing to eat, a substantial millions of dollars for a couple more years on a contract.
That would be the question, is the Crane has to eat the money. But look, you eat the money. You're right now reaping the benefits of having one of the best teams in all of baseball, the best team in all of baseball. It doesn't count against the competitive balance.
It's the cost of trying to do business at the top of the league, too. Yeah. It's some of the things you have to suck up.
I don't really care about the dirt stain it leaves either. Like, you can overlook that sort of stuff. Like, do you tick off James Click? Sure. But you also get David Stearns, who you think's the best GM in all of baseball that you really want to work with. Who cares if that ticks off a lot of front office executives? You've got your guy.
You're right. I see where you're coming from. I lived something like this in terms of when the Rockets were winning championships, they didn't care who they pissed off. They didn't care how they went about their business because they were riding high on the horse. And there were so many people from season ticket holders and sponsors to basketball people and agents that said, we're just waiting for the day that they fall off that mountaintop because we're going to remember how they treated us. And that was a tough pothole to get over when it started to happen.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, what are they doing?
Sponsors pulled out. Season ticket holders pulled out.
I mean, I don't think
agents decided to remind them of the fact.
I don't think ticking off his sponsors.
I'm just going across the board. Okay, I'm saying from a business perspective, you got that. You've got from the same way that they played hardball, then you had agents coming back to them and saying, remember when you held me over a barrel because you were who you were and now you're not? Well, I'm going to make you pay the same way. And there were people that held a grudge.
But they're also going to take the best offer. Like, you might not like the guy, but if they pay you what you want, they're going to sign a contract with you.
Some will, some won't. Some guys are willing to go and say, even if it's a little less, I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, I haven't heard of a free agent, though, being like, you know what? I don't like the Astros. I'm not signing with them.
In terms of my experience in basketball, I did hear that. It happened to us.
But that's not the Astros.
No, it's different in baseball.
I believe that it happened with the Rockets and with Les or whoever, but not with this current regime of the Astros. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, our HRNP listener line. If you want to weigh in, let us know how you're feeling with the whole James Click, Jim Crane drama. I mean, you're a few days away from winning the World Series, and you have this drama with the Houston Astros. Rockets are going on right now. Let's check in with what's going on with the Houston Rockets. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Speaking of basketball, you need to be in the business. You need to be in the market, rather, for a goal, a basketball goal. And if you are in the business for a basketball goal, which you should be, you got to look up ProDunk Hoops. They're the best basketball goal on the market. Tempered glass backboard gives you a true authentic feel. Extended overhang, which keeps a clear path under the rim. I don't have to worry about spraining my ankle, which is a huge deal with me. Competition grade breakaway rim, perfect for dunking, perfect for hanging. It keeps you safe. You say dunking? Well, I can't jump very high. Well, it doesn't matter. You can lower the goal all the way down to 5 feet. You can raise it up to 10 feet, anywhere in between as well, working on some jams, working on your shots, anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet. It is outstanding. It's just the season, too. College basketball season's underway the first week. Rockets have already played a dozen games this season as well, and the weather is going to get better, so it's the perfect time to get a goal from ProDunk Hoops. Durability's a strength. Stainless steel fasteners, thicker steel, exclusive rust armor makes them sturdy and strong. The best feature, they install the goal. Yes. Pros at ProDunk Hoops professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't install. Let the pros at ProDunk Hoops do all of the work for you. ProDunk Hoops goals come in a variety of sizes and options. They'll be the perfect fit for your driveway or yard. Give them a call at 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
Hi, I'm Brad Keselowski, driver number 2, Discount Tire Ford Mustang. If there's one thing I've learned after years on the track, that having the right amount of pressure in your tires can make or break performance. Properly inflated tires are essential to the health of your car and to keep you driving safely. Check your tire pressure once a month, especially before road trips, or stop by your neighborhood tire retailer for help.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Houston Rockets play basketball tonight. Rockets have played nearly a dozen games. They're 2-9. They've won. They're hot. Rockets are red hot. They've won one in a row. They've won their latest. They beat a Magic team, by the way.
Yeah,
that had Paulo Banchero. Rockets scored 134
in that game.
He did, but he lost in a losing effort.
That might be in the plan.
Rockets rookie, meanwhile, has not been playing so well. Jabari Smith does not look good. 22 minutes, 1-for-4 from the floor. 3 points, 1 rebound. Not good.
No. Look,
it feels like
I
he had something to say there.
No, well, I do, I mean, I always do. But it's just, you know, I think you and I set the table when the draft was kind of taking shape. I think Jabari Smith was the best overall talent in this draft, but I didn't think he was going to be NBA ready tomorrow. I thought that if you wanted a guy that was the most plug-and-play ready, it was Banchero. And you didn't have a chance to get Banchero because, obviously, the deck was reshuffled by the teams that had the choices above you, and they chose to do what they wanted to do. And Banchero, who looked like, for the entire draft process, was going to be the number 3 pick and fall right into your lap, actually was taken number one overall. I think, thankfully, OKC took Chet at two, and I had, you know, and I don't wish any injury on anybody. I didn't see that coming. I just thought he was a he had to develop quite a bit too.
I don't think that's fair to say. I think we did kind of see that coming. Like Chet being injury prone. Oh no! Like I think everybody saw that.
I said
coming.
I didn't want to wish injury
right,
on
but,
him.
But you also said I didn't see that coming, which I don't think is fair to you. Like I'm saying, you're not being fair to yourself because we did talk about
how frail he was, the fact
yeah.
that he had to put on weight. I talked about even working with a guy like Hashim Thabeet. Yeah. Like you can be 7'4" with a 10-foot wingspan, but if you get an easy tag to the Whataburger drive-thru and can't put on 10 pounds, that could be a problem. But yeah, we didn't know if Chet was going to develop. Jabari has an athletic build already. Jabari can shoot the basketball. He has an offensive touch, and we were talking about this with prospects even in the college game right now, where you can have all the athleticism and defensive abilities in the world. Developing offense is a different animal that some guys get and some guys don't, but I think Jabari's going to develop into quite a good player in the NBA. It's just to expect that kid against grown men every night to just jump right into the Rockets starting rotation and be that guy, that might be a little bit too much.
One of my, and he was sick, so maybe that played a role into it. And he had some good games early in the year. Rockets are 2-9 right now. I like the collection of pieces that they have, if I'm being completely honest. I've liked what I've seen a lot out of Kevin Porter Jr. Is it in the best interest of the Rockets going forward? Like, if they could get Scoot in the draft where he's your point guard and then you play Porter and Green off the ball? I like the sounds of that. Shingun has looked really good. I think I'm still not. Look, Jabari Smith has had a slow start to his rookie year. Maybe this illness has
Tari
had more
Eason
to do.
Is a steal.
Tari Eason's a steal. And I love what I've seen out of Kevin Martin Jr. Like, Kevin Martin has looked really good. Garuba looks like he has a place in this league as well. What I fear with like the 2022-23 addition to the Houston Rockets, they're still very, very young. I don't think that they're anywhere near ready to win. And maybe like a bigger fear is I'm not sure that Silas is the best at honing all of their skills.
Couldn't agree more. Look, I think here's the thing. I think that they did it the right way in terms of when they went all in on the on a younger player, they got younger players. I don't understand why Josh Christopher is not playing. I don't understand the obsession with Knicks.
Yeah.
I don't understand picking up the option on Garuba. But I do understand the fact that Jalen Green continues to develop more and more. He had another big night in Orlando. He looks like a guy that's going to be, he scores with ease. His jumping ability is off the charts. So you've got that guy. I think we've both been on the same page all along, and I was adamant about this from the time they brought him in. Kevin Porter Jr. is not a point guard. He's best suited to play, whether it be the two or the three, and you can alternate those guys wherever you choose to play them, him and Green. They're better off the ball, getting the ball so that they can get on the wing and they can score. You need a young point guard. Ty Washington, I thought when they got him, he might be able to develop into that guy. He's been hurt. We'll see if he ends up, again, another young kid that over the next year or two can develop into that player. But to your point, the nucleus of all these young players over these last two drafts has given them a ton to choose from and lots of options how to get better. But as it relates to Steven Silas, and I had this conversation the other day with Todd, he asked me, who's going to be the next coach of the Rockets? I said, that might be sooner rather than later, because as much as Silas didn't sign up for this, Silas also got a lot of credit for developing Luka offensively when he was in Dallas. Well, you're not developing kids when they don't know how to play defense and the only offense you run are isolation plays where there's not ball movement, body movement, and any kind of plays being called. And at a certain point, so that you can maximize this young roster, you may need a different voice and basketball mind to kind of take them where they need to go.
Yeah. I'm not closing the book yet on Silas. I'm not calling for his job
yet. I think he's a nice guy. I'm pulling for him.
I want to see him have the whole year. I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to like fire him, interim, Lucas, then you're looking for a new guy. Like, let's get a full year of Silas. And I'm not closing the book yet on Silas. I'm just saying that's the one area that I'm worried about when it comes to Silas is honing all of these skills together. Because we just went down the roster. I think it is a talented roster that if you can hone their skills and, you know, draw up some good stuff and getting them playing as a team, I think that they have the foundation of what could be a winning team going forward. Not this year, but going forward in this Rockets rebuild. Because the collection's there. The talent is there. Like Eric Gordon playing 30 minutes.
He's got to go somewhere.
That's too much.
Like, sooner, I told you he should have been on the roster to start the season. He belongs somewhere else.
And I don't even really care the return. I just want those minutes going other places.
Right.
I don't mind the Garuba picking up his option because it's cheap. He still has potential, and you're starting to see him this year do some good things where last year he just didn't really play a whole lot. As far as like Jalen Green, first off on Kevin Porter Jr., like being a point guard or whatever, people would always will always point to his assist. Well, he's got a high assist. He's got a lot of turnovers too.
Yeah, he does. Like, James Harden had a lot of assists
exactly. Give me more assist to turnover ratio than just a ton of volume with assists because, I mean, Kevin Porter Jr. is also going to have a high volume of turnovers. Look, you don't have another point guard on this roster though. So like Silas, give him the whole year. Give Kevin Porter Jr. the whole year as the point guard and then make that decision at the end of the season. I'm fine with that. I just don't predict he's the long-term point guard of this
organization. They consider Knicks a point guard, but Knicks is a point guard looking to shoot threes.
He's a point guard in the G League. He's not an NBA player.
You're right. What do you call him, a 4A in terms of baseball? Yeah, he's that kind of guy. He might be an all-star in the G League, but I don't think he's ever going to be that guy in the NBA. That's why I don't like Christopher not getting the minutes.
Yep.
Eric Gordon needs to be somewhere else. You mentioned
I don't think that high of Christopher either, though. Like, do I think he's got
a lot of basketball ability?
Do I think he has more ability and potential than Knicks? Absolutely. Do I think Christopher is like a rotational piece on a really good team? Probably not.
You know what he is? He's a tweener right now because he's not good enough in his decision making to be a point guard. He doesn't shoot it consistently enough to be a two guard, but he's got the athleticism to be an NBA player.
Sure.
So now you got to figure out, can you hone one way or the other those skills to make him a one or a two? Or do you realize he's just not going to be one of those guys?
Yep.
Tate's an older guy. Tate's a guy that might be trade bait when all is said and done, because as good as he is from the time they brought him in and now they paid him, he's a guy that's better suited to help a team that's ready to win now than a guy that's going to wait and develop with the rest of this roster.
I think he's been passed up, too.
Kenyon Martin Jr., a guy who wanted out, whose dad wanted him to go elsewhere, now is seeing minutes, and he's maximizing them.
I think he's better than Tate.
I think he might be right, and he could be your Tate if you decide to move on. You could move Gordon and Tate and still get more pieces and not do anything to affect the nucleus of young players that you have.
Yep.
So I think they're in a really good position, and because they control their draft pick for one more season, this is still the year to experiment and figure it out and take your lumps along the way, but know that you have the talent that a couple of these guys are going to really develop for you in the next year or two.
I really like Victor Wembanyama, and I love Scoot.
So I think Scoot would be the ideal point guard
for this
team.
I think Scoot might be a better fit than Victor, but I'm not passing up on Victor at number one. So, like, I'm good with either one of the top two picks, obviously. One more thing about Silas and, like, the talent. Mm-hmm. One thing that does annoy me, like, when it comes to Jalen Green, when it comes to Kevin Porter Jr., nothing that they're doing, even Jabari Smith, I don't think Silas always puts them in the best position to have success.
I agree.
Like, Jalen Green has to be red hot to have a big night. Kevin Porter Jr. has to be red hot to have a big night. Jabari Smith has to, like, demand the ball, I guess, to have a big night. How many times are they running plays for Jabari? How many times are they getting an easy look to Jalen Green? Almost never.
Here's my problem with that, too, Jeremy. Take it a step further. It doesn't even have to be a play. Go give the man a screen.
Yeah.
Instead of just giving him the ball on the wing and getting out of his way and saying, here, go try and get yours. Go get one of your bigger bodies to give him a high screen so you create separation or a mismatch and get a bigger guy on you so it's easier for you to score. All you see is once they cross half court, it's one pass and done. Get out of someone's way and hope they can put the ball in the basket.
Yep.
That's not NBA basketball that's going to be sustainably winning basketball in a game or a season.
And I think I'm a little bit more like high on ISO basketball than you are. I think I'm more like okay with it than you are. But that's kind of like late in the game situation. That's kind of like I need a 2-for-1 type of possession. But to get those guys going for those isolation spots to really heighten how valuable they are, I think you run stuff for them to try to get them some easy looks.
Let me sum that up for you the best way I can. That's situational, not foundational.
That's a great
Your foundation
great way to say it.
Is not to do that every play.
Yeah.
Situationally, that's what the great players in this game do. When you needed to win a game late, you give the ball to Kobe and get out of the way, or Michael or LeBron or whatever. That's fine.
Yep.
But don't do it in the second quarter with 8 minutes left and every single play subsequently after that.
I like how you said it. Would you say situational, not foundational?
Yep.
I like the way you put that. That's really good. I might steal that. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. How far should the Texans go on Brandon Cooks? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my bookie. Another big weekend of sports getting ready to get going. We've got football tomorrow night. You know, college basketball has started. You know, you've got the NBA almost nightly now. NFL coming up and college football this weekend. There's only one place to put your money down. It's mybookie.ag. I always tell you to go there because mybookie.ag takes care of the customers pretty much on a consistent basis. They do promos and other things that really don't cost you anything to get involved. A lot of times they have deals going on. Like, they're going to give you, say, if you put, they're going to get whatever you deposit on your first initial deposit right now, mybookie.ag, they're going to give you an extra half of that up to $1,000. You put $1,000 in, they're going to give you $500 extra in your account. and 200 in, they're going to give you 100 extra in your account. You get the idea. The bottom line is more money in your account, more games you can bet on, and more chances to win. That's the big deal. That's why they like you playing with them and you like playing on their site, because they take care of their customers on a daily basis. I encourage you to go in and put the promo code BET975 when you sign up or get into your account, and you're going to see that kind of a that extra bonus that they're going to take care of you with almost immediately. Therefore, that you also have other things that you need to keep in mind, like the money bag right now. The MyBookie money bag is also an opportunity for you to win, because it's a one-of-a-kind opportunity to spin for crazy odds and props and futures that you just put the bet in, spin the wheel, get ready to score epic odds on the best teams, athletes, and events. And if you win big. Just another way you can get involved and make games more interesting on a daily basis. Sign up free today. Again, use that promo code 975. Get your first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000 and let the games begin. Get going, bet on those games, get those games that you really care about and those games maybe you don't care so much about, and make them all a lot more worthy of being able to cash in. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I always tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag.